Good day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. Today we have two guests on the show, Emily Moses, who is the Executive Staff Advisor for the Kentucky Arts Council, along with Jennifer Rice, who I know well, but at the same time I need to remind myself of Jennifer's title because sometimes it changes on me. But Jennifer works here at Morehead State. She's the Gallery Director and the Coordinator slash Instructor for the Arts Entrepreneurship Minor Program. I got that right?
That's right.
All right,
yeah,
good.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, good. I'm
yeah,
glad you guys were able to make it over to talk to us. So we're going to be speaking today about the 2017 Kentucky Creative Industry Summit, which comes up next Tuesday at the Conference Center here in Morehead. And Emily, I had you kind of give me a rundown before the show about what this is all about. Maybe give our listeners the same type of rundown.
Sure. So this is the fourth annual Kentucky Creative Industry Summit. It's held in a different location each year across Kentucky. It's the Kentucky Arts Council's largest training opportunity for arts stakeholders, artists, arts organizations, creative entrepreneurs, creative makers, to come together and hear a good mix of presentations about topics that are relevant and current in the arts, both in Kentucky and across the nation, and then also to participate in hands-on workshops like the ones that Jennifer will be doing.
We've talked about this kind of subject before, Jennifer, the fact that after people leave and they've got a degree and they know how to create art, at the same time they know how to they need to know how to create business for themselves.
That's right, and I think it's become a more pressing issue. I really think in the last 10 years, because of different forces, the rise of social media, the Great Recession taking out stakeholders like galleries that would do a lot of the work for you, artists are realizing that they have to be their sort of their own arts managers, their own copywriters, their own art photographers, at their own PR machines, and they're kind of stuck in how to do that. One of the things that I notice that people have problems with, and it's one thing I'm going to be focusing on with one of my workshops focusing on digital marketing and social media, is there's so many opportunities out there. There's so many different platforms that people get totally overwhelmed, and then they just stop. So that's one of the things I'll be focusing on, is sort of introducing people to different options, but then helping break it down so they can choose, and then they can leave with an action plan where they can actually focus on getting something going in 2018.
It sounds like trying to help them from being overwhelmed by the daunting task of going into business.
That's right. And I think that, you know, we all have wonderful ideas. Like I was having, you know, was up at 4 a.m. I had some great ideas. If you don't look at those ideas and then think about, okay, how is this going to play out in a year, 2 years, 3 years, then it stops being a concrete, achievable thing and it just becomes another idea. So that's one thing that I really focus on helping artists think about is first being expansive in how you can make money with your art. I think that sometimes, ironically, creative people can kind of be kind of not creative when it comes to thinking about how they can leverage their talent for financial gain. But then once we have those ideas, then which ones do we commit to and how does this become an actionable strategy so that this can actually exist in the world and we can gain from it?
It made me wonder when you were saying all this, how many great ideas people come up with. But because they look at this and say, how am I going to do this? And they just kind of give up on what was a great idea.
Yeah, I think that that happens a lot. I think that when you have a great idea, we'll just talk about an artistic idea. I think there are a couple things that people need to do, and this is something I'll be talking about a little bit, is they need to go out into the marketplace and see who else is doing it. I mean, are they doing the exact same thing you want to do? If so, can you do it better, or can you serve perhaps a niche that they're not serving? It's very helpful to look at competitors out in the marketplace. It's also very important to think about what your unique value proposition that you bring into the marketplace, and that is something where creatives excel. And there are a lot of people who want to go into business, their idea for going into business because they may not have an idea with traction or something with a unique value proposition as they go in and do like a franchise. Well, that's wonderful too. I mean, that's great. But artists and creatives are in this position where they are actually generating unique value on their own. But what they need to do is think about that in a concrete way and think about, okay, how can I take that unique value and bring it into the marketplace? And so that middle part of, you know, running profit margins, thinking about your marketing, doing cost of goods and all that stuff, that can be a little challenging. But when I work with artists, I like to kind of have them think of it as a game. You know, let's run the numbers. Let's do this together. Let's not have this be a scary thing.
Yeah, which I can imagine it would be. And at the same time, do you have also others that say, well, you know, I'm in art here. I'm not in business. And they don't really understand that if you want to be in art, you have to be in business at the same time.
Well, I have a good friend who was quite successful selling work on Etsy. He's gone in a different direction. And he basically said it's an all or nothing proposition. You're either making the work to put it out in the world, which part of that is getting some sort of gain from it, social or financial, or you're not. Most people, 99%, fall into the former, where they're making work, they want to put it out in the world, they want to get something back for it, and that could be, you know, validation, it could be financial gain, it could be notoriety. But most people are making things not to just stick it in the closet.
Emily, if you would talk about the conference on Tuesday, or the event at the industry summit, rather, mm-hmm. I should say, at the conference center, and maybe some of the modules and workshops that will be held to give people an idea of what kinds of things they can look forward to.
Sure. Well, we have three different learning tracks in the morning after our opening plenary presentation, and then we have four learning tracks in the afternoon. So we have opportunities for individual artists across the disciplines, really. We have opportunities to learn about pricing your artwork, and not just your artwork, but also if you're a performer or a different kind of artist, how do you go about making money so you're not undercutting yourself? We'll have a learning track that throughout the day will actually be at the Kentucky Folk Art Center right across the street from the conference center. Matt Collinsworth, the director there, will be talking about working with exhibits and creating relationships with artists and with the community to support your work. We have some legal topics, contracts and copyright for artists. Those are always big topics because artists want to know how to protect their work, which is increasingly more important in a digital age where you can see your work online with somebody else's name on it. You know, we hear that from artists frequently. One of the things that I'm excited about is a panel discussion we'll have in the morning with participants in the Arts Council's Homegrown Handmade project, talking about how that project has unfolded over the past year. It's still got a year to go. That was a project that worked to integrate arts into farmers markets in Owsley and Ohio counties. And so we'll be talking about some results from that project. One thing I'm really excited about is the plenary presentation. We're bringing in U.S. Army Brigadier General Nolan Bivens, who is retired general, who is going to be talking in the morning about national efforts in arts, healthcare, and the military across the country.
That's different.
Yeah, it is. It is, but it's a really interesting topic. And there are partnership opportunities for artists and arts organizations and communities that are interested in initiating work for military service people, their families, and veterans at the local level.
And I never would have thought of that, to be honest with you. And obviously, military veterans can be artists too, but you think about them coming back, but you think I guess it just didn't hit me. I'm not sure why, but I think that's a great topic to work with.
Well, there's been overwhelming evidence and a lot of initiatives in the past couple of years about the positive effects that art therapy have had on soldiers returning from our recent wars who have suffered traumatic brain injuries and PTSD, and also in offering support to their families after they return, that the arts can give them a way to work through some of the difficulties they face when they return home, but also to provide outlets for them and their families to step away from some of the problems that they might be facing.
It kind of fits into something else that it reminded me of a commercial I saw for a veteran service, and I can't remember the name of it offhand, but they allow veterans to come in and they give them plane models of cars, and they kind of sit there and they build these models, they paint them, they glue them together, and they talk about what you just spoke of. It helps them with their post-traumatic stress syndrome and things of that nature, and it really works their minds and it makes them feel good about what they're accomplishing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, these are important things.
They really are. And we do know of a few instances in Kentucky where there have been efforts to work with veterans in the community, writing projects specifically. But General Bivens is going to talk about some of the things that are happening across the country that are larger initiatives, and also there are networks that people can tap into if they're interested in starting some of that work in their own community. You know, one thing we know without a doubt is that there are veterans in every county in Kentucky. So it's really relevant information that I think could spur a whole new, kind of arts activity in the state.
This is the 2017 Kentucky Creative Industry Summit. How long have you been doing this?
We've been doing this for four. This is our fourth one. We started in Louisville, and we started the Creative Industry Summit at the same time we released the Kentucky Creative Industry Report, which really gave a broad overview of the arts in Kentucky, including economic impact numbers, the number of people working in the arts and creative enterprises in Kentucky.
I think people would be surprised by the amount of economic impact that the arts have on the state.
Absolutely, absolutely. We know that there is over $1 billion in earnings that come into the state from those who work in the arts and in the supply chains for the arts and creative activities. So, when you break it down, when you think about simply being willing to travel somewhere to see a concert, lots of people do that on a really regular basis. You know, you spend money, just going to see an artist, but also all of the other things that go along with it. You might go out to dinner. You might be spending gas money. All of those things are generating, dollars that support the arts in the state.
That's interesting because Jennifer and I have talked about that. Obviously, they have a lot of exhibits at the art gallery, and people will come from miles around, and then after they're done, they may stop and have a meal. Some of them may even come and stay a night.
Right.
And it has a tremendous economic impact just on the Morehead community alone.
Yeah, that's something I talk about in the introduction to arts administration class I teach every spring, and Emily's been a regular visitor to that class. But not only, looking at what's the primary economic impact, but what are all those secondary economic impacts? And so, yeah, so our summer shows at the Claypool Young Art Gallery are either Kentucky-specific or regionally specific. Our last one was a textile exhibition that had – there are about nine states, Kentucky and states surrounding, and a lot of those artists came to Morehead, and they stayed at hotels, and they went, and they got good meals, and they went to the Folk Arts Center, and they bought some things. They went to Coffee Tree Books, and they picked some things up. So, cultural tourists tend to spend more money. That's sort of a known, documented thing.
Do they come basically with that specific idea, I will be spending money?
They just tend to be of, this is all generalizations, but they tend to have a little bit more disposable income. They tend to have a higher education level. They tend to go out to eat at places that they're going to be spending a little bit more money. It's just broadly speaking, cultural tourists have a larger economic footprint when they go into a community than, say, other sorts of tourists.
So they almost expect, though, to spend money in some ways, in a sense.
Exactly. I mean, I think about when I go visit a place, I'm researching the best restaurant to go to. I mean, that's in my budget. I usually want to stay at some place that's different. It might be a little bit more, but, you know, I want that sort of unique opportunity. I'm going to find out where I can get something that is unique from that area, that is made by someone, you know, from that area or region or state, because that's a sort of takeaway that I want to have from that experience when I go on a trip to see an exhibition. I'll be going up to Cincinnati in about a week or two to see an exhibition at the Cincinnati Art Museum with a friend of mine. I'm just going to see that exhibition, also to hang out with her, but we're also going to happen to have a really nice meal together and stay at a nice hotel. And I'm sure I'll go to the Pendleton Art Center and spend a little money there. Hmm. And I'm not an unusual person as a cultural tourist.
Again, our guest today on the front page, Emily Moses, who's the executive staff advisor for the Kentucky Arts Council, along with Jennifer Rice. And again, I'm going to have to read the title to make sure I get it exactly correct. Jennifer works here at Morehead State. She's the gallery director at Claypool Young. She's also the coordinator instructor for the Arts Entrepreneurship Minor. We will have more on front page right after this.
There are many ways to connect with Morehead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Morehead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
Welcome back to today's front page, and again, we're talking about the 2017 Kentucky Creative Industry Summit, which comes up next Tuesday, December 5, here in Morehead at the Conference Center. Emily Moses from the Kentucky Arts Council is with us today, along with Jennifer Rice, who works here at Morehead State over at the gallery at Claypool Young. And as we continue our discussion, you know, I was thinking about this. I know that there's a push for more and more people to kind of start their own businesses because, I mean, you're sitting around and waiting for a factory to just jump in your lap and give you a high-paying job just doesn't happen like it used to back right. In, say, the 50s or whatever. You've got to go out there now and make something of yourself for yourself, and this is another way to do that. So being an entrepreneur is so important.
Absolutely. I mean, we've certainly seen that as a big push over the last several years. It's definitely an opportunity for lots of different folks. We know, especially in Eastern Kentucky, due to the downturn in the coal industry, that there have been massive efforts to spur entrepreneurial efforts across the entire region. And something that I think has been really interesting and exciting among those initiatives is that the arts have and culture and creative activities have kind of been brought to the forefront in a way that they never have before as a legitimate possibility for people to find new opportunities to generate their own income, which Jennifer's been involved in some of those efforts. We, along with the Kentucky Arts Council, along with some regional partners, have started some really neat kind of activities with trainings related to the online platform Etsy, and then also business training specifically targeted to creative makers who want to go into business and really strike out on their own in a more serious fashion than they might have before. It's been pretty interesting work.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer, I'll ask you this question then. As we've gone through the last few years and what Emily just spoke about to that point, are you seeing more and more young people come through the program there who want to go out and become arts entrepreneurs?
I'm seeing a lot of students who are interested in at least having it be a side gig, if not their full-time job. And, you know, we have students in the minor who are musicians who are learning how does my life look like this? You know, how do I do the promotion? A lot of my students come from the Kentucky Center for Traditional Music. So, oh, I've recorded a CD. It's great. And now how do I record it? How do I book it? What's life on the road look like? How do I do that with the lowest overhead possible? How can I cost share with other artists? To graphic designers who are like, okay, I really want to do this, but I need to know, like, how do I do a contract? We were just talking about invoicing on Monday with my students. Like, you have to be on top of those invoices. You can't expect people are just going to open their wallets and pay you. You're going to have to be very assertive about it. So they are very interested, but my goal with the students with the arts entrepreneurship class specifically is they come in, and they develop an idea at the beginning of the semester. By the end of the semester, they have had to market that and tested it in the marketplace after they come up with a prototype and kind of do the tweaks, so that they have a whole semester of an experience of what this actually feels like, what it feels like to maybe take a risk on something, what happens when it doesn't work out, which happens a lot. How do we pivot from that and reflect on that and take what we've learned and then grow further? All of those things I feel that are important for people to do in a safe environment. For people who are not in school, I encourage people to do what is known as a minimal viable product. You know, what's the sort of the bones of the thing that I can put out there and just see if I'm getting some traction before I dump thousands of dollars into this thing. They get excited and they want to throw all this money at this thing, and then they end up losing money because they haven't done those sort of like, let's test the market here and make sure. And then we can learn from our customer base and see how we tweak it so it's actually a product or service that's going to be even more desirable for people.
I would imagine going through that process, probably most of them, is pretty eye-opening. There are a lot of things they probably didn't realize.
Yeah, I think it is eye-opening. I think in some cases it can be a little frustrating. We have a lot of opportunities for them to share their prototypes, to share what they're doing on marketing. And I give them very direct feedback, and their peers do. And whenever I get a little pushback on that, I go, well, we're going to tell you what everyone else is just going to be thinking. So this is an awesome opportunity for you to get some honest feedback on how you can make this better. And it's challenging, but they leave with a lot of work, and they leave with that work being done and again in sort of a safe environment where a lot of them actually make money. I tell them this is probably the only college class you're ever going to come out in the black if you work at it. You know, if you don't, you might lose a little bit of money, and that's just the way it goes.
Well, Emily, as we get set to wrap up here, if someone's interested in getting involved in the 2017 Kentucky Creative Industry Summit next Tuesday in Moorhead, how could they do it?
Registration is available online on the Arts Council's website at artscouncil.ky.gov. It is $15. That does include lunch. You can also register at the door. Registration is free for students. So if there are students who are interested in attending, all they have to do is show up, really. They could contact us and register in advance, but they really don't have to. They can just come. And that's something that we've offered every year that we've done the summit. We really feel that it's important in growing the future of those who work in the creative industry in Kentucky to, allow for these opportunities for young people who are studying the arts, who are the next wave of people who will work in the creative industry in Kentucky.
Jennifer, could they call you also here on campus?
Yes, they can, or they can send me an email at j.reis@moorheadstate.com. And I will direct them where they need to go.
Okay. Well, thanks to both of you for coming over and joining me on Front Page.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Again, we've been talking about the 2017 Kentucky Creative Industry Summit. It's next Tuesday here in Moorhead at the Conference Center downtown. Our guests have been Emily Moses, Executive Staff Advisor for the Kentucky Arts Council, along with Jennifer Rice, who works over at Gallery here at Morehead State. She's the director there, also the coordinator instructor for the Arts Entrepreneurship Minor. I'm Chuck Morales, host of the program. We'll see you next time.